Hey, everybody. By popular demand, we are staying on the story of the 2020 election. We are not forgetting what happened with the most interfered with, flawed, and questioned election in American history. We are sticking to the facts, as always, here with Phil Klein, former Attorney General of Kansas from the Amistad Project. We're diving deep into what is happening with his lawsuits. Why are other attorney generals not looking into what happened? And he's actually very optimistic. We're talking about things we have learned, things we can improve, and who might actually be held accountable for what happened in this last election. Phil Klein is a dear friend. He's a good man. And we are going to stay on top of this with recurring updates as things happen. I know all of you are worried about election integrity, and you should be. And on this program, we are unafraid to talk about it. We're not just going to move on. We are going to stay on the facts and the evidence, and wherever that takes us, we're going to report it to you. I ask tough questions out of Phil, honest questions, journalistic-based questions, trying to find the truth. And we're able to do that when you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support. So please consider supporting us, supporting our team. I want to read some of our testimonials here from some of our supporters. I want to thank Julio, who says, Charlie, thank you for your hard work. You've become my number one most trusted source for everything political. As I advance in my career, please accept this small token as I am able to contribute more. Also, I'd like to acknowledge to you how much I appreciate you putting things into a faith perspective. Thank you for all you do, and God bless. A monthly supporter, God bless you, from Murrieta, California. Garnett from Washington, thank you so much. Kelly from Naperville, Illinois, thank you. So if you have been impacted by this podcast and this broadcast in any way at all, please go to charliekirk.com/support. And some of you might listen to us on radio every day. Maybe you listen to us on AM 560 The Answer in Chicago from 1 to 2 Chicago time. Maybe you listen to us on AM 960 The Patriot in Phoenix. But what makes this podcast episode different is this is exclusive to just the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We do this extra to deliver you guys the news that you make possible when you support us. When you support us, you help make this happen. It's the baseline. It's the backbone of what we do. Jennifer, who supported us, says, great podcast. You are doing a wonderful job and such a needed area of work with college-age conservatives. Thank you. Well, thank you, Jennifer, from Lexington, Kentucky. And so we dive deep into this with Phil. I want to hear your feedback from this episode. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, because a lot of you are disgusted with how this election happened, and you're wondering, what are we going to do to fix our elections? That's what I'm focusing on, and I get my marching orders from you guys. We are a listener-supported, audience-driven program, and when I get thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of emails on one topic, I said to Andrew, get Phil Klein back on the program. Let's get an update. If you want to possibly win a signed copy of The MAGA Doctrine, please go to your Apple Podcast app or Spotify app and hit subscribe. Leave a 5-star review and a review. Screenshot and email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. And just a favor, could you get one friend to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show today? Maybe you have some parents that have a phone around. Just say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to subscribe you to the Charlie Kirk Show. Do you know that every time you hit subscribe, it makes it harder for us to get canceled? It makes it less likely for us just to disappear. Every subscription makes a difference. And of course, our supporters as well. Phil Klein is here. This is the most factual, important podcast episode when it comes to unpacking what is going to happen to bring people to justice for what happened in the 2020 election and what we're going to do to reform it. Again, thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. And last thing, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, listen closely, everybody. This is a very special offer from a dear friend of mine, someone who has been so generous, so amazing to Turning Point USA and to the Charlie Kirk Show, a friend of mine, Ed Zeman. So look, we talk a lot about Florida, the great state of Florida. And if you or a loved one are looking for an amazing getaway in the greatest state, which is Florida, my home state, look no further than a high-end RV resort, a total amazing experience at the Tides RV Resort, very close to the Tampa St. Pete area. That's the TidesRVResort.com. So look, I visited it myself, actually. My buddy Ed texted me, said, you got to check it out. I want to partner with you guys on the Charlie Kirk Show. So I went a couple weeks ago. In fact, I did the Charlie Kirk Show right from the Tides RV Resort. That's how mission-driven they are. And I've never seen an RV resort before, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. I can tell you right now, five-star, luxury, the best out there. And so maybe you guys are in the RV business. And by the way, some of you might not be, but you should be. It's actually kind of cool. You can see the country. You can live nicely. But for those of you that are in the RV community, by the way, 500,000 RVs were sold last year. This is the place for you. I've been there. And again, it's amazing. It has everything you could want as a high-end RV owner, including two pools, a clubhouse, a 30-acre lake, a billiard room, a card room, an office, kayaking on the river, and plenty more things to do for an active lifestyle. So check it out. If you have an RV and you're planning a big trip, then you know you need an RV resort maybe to park. So go to thetidesrvresort.com or just call them directly at 941-244-5744. That's 941-244-5744. The Tides RV Resort is owned and operated, again, by my great friend, Ed Zeman. They're an outstanding family. They love our country, and they want to get behind our program. They've donated very generously to Turning Point USA. So when you maybe check it out or you go there, tell them Charlie Kirk sent you and receive a free gift and use the promo code Charlie when booking online. Whenever you are in the country, get in your RV or rent one. Experience the beautiful country and take advantage of this amazing getaway in the free open state of Florida. Don't let the lockdowns get in the way of you living your life. Check out the Tides RV Resort. Let me say that again. The Tides RV Resort. The website, thetidesrvresort.com. If you are in the RV world, check it out. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. They're amazing people. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. We are joined today by my friend Phil Klein, who runs the Amistad Project. I'm going to ask him about what the heck that name means. But Phil, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Great to be with you, Charlie.
So, Phil, I want to talk about everything you're not allowed to talk about, which is the integrity of our elections. I want to talk about...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're going to be canceled.
Yeah,
you're going to incite violence. Your speech should be restricted.
And that seems to be the new normal. I want to talk about drop boxes. I want to talk about signature verification. I want to talk about the lawsuits, how we're going to reform it, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. But first, what is the Amistad Project and why did you name it?
Well, it's named after actually a Spanish slave ship, La Amistad, which means friendship. And there was a slave revolt and they took over the ship and they wanted to sail to freedom, but they accidentally sailed to the United States. The Spanish tried to claim them as property. And former President Adams represented these individuals. This is like 1840 in a case all the way up to the United States Supreme Court where they gained their freedom. So it's a remarkable, heroic story about people standing for what is right against a nation, including the United States at the time, and a culture that treated people as if they were property.
Wow.
And as you know, Charlie, what our faith teaches us is that every individual has value because they are created by God, and that government does not have a right to diminish that value because it comes from God. And that's where our rights come from. And that has always been a battle to get a nation and a government to represent and respect individual liberty. The United States is just a blink of an eye in human history. And this story is always a journey. And I appreciate your leadership on it. And we're in that fight right now in America.
Amen. Well, I love that story. And that's why we're doing what we're doing and why we're here today. So, okay, let's get right into it. Phil, the frustration from our listeners can't even be put into words. We have thousands and thousands of listeners that are saying they'll never vote again. They're not being listened to. The Supreme Court's not taking cases. Our elections are corrupt. They're broken. They're interfered with. I want to just start with a big picture. What is going on? Why is this so difficult? Why are these issues still here? And how are they allowed to get away with it?
Well, I believe there's a couple of things. First of all, there's a gross misunderstanding, which I believe has been taught, Charlie, about the purpose and role of government. That if you were to spend time, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, in a K through 12 education, you're going to learn that government's role is to protect us from all harm and even personal offense. And that's not government's role. Government's role is to protect inherent rights and to allow us to engage in society in liberty and freedom. Now, the distinction is important because liberty is one of the most vulnerable places you can find yourself. It calls you to self-responsibility. It means that you must treat others with respect. It means that individuals have value. We now live in an age of identity politics, where your rights are determined by what group you're a part of and whether that group is currently favored by those in power. That is the building block of tyranny. It's also the foundation for all oppression of groups throughout human history. And I would say this, you asked me in a global picture. The pendulum swings. The sins of the father are repaid by the sins of the son. In other words, groups that were oppressed in America are thinking their best way to power is to oppress those groups that oppressed mm-hmm. them. And this cycle of what was good for the gander is good for the goose, I'm coming after you, is the cycle of human history that's only pierced by one thing, and that is gifting something the world has not to gift, and that's grace. And it's treating one another with a respect that God would have us treat us. Treat one another. And that is like speaking Latin to our culture today. And so people don't heed its call. And their fear is manipulated, their anger is manipulated by those in power to perpetuate their own power. How did they get away with it? They used these very tactics. They said that if you question government, you're undermining democracy. Well, you know, that's Orwellian. I think the foundation of a democracy is questioning government. And we have to examine these issues. They have, and thank God you're up on, what is your platform? What all do you air on?
We aired on radio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a little bit of a different distribution mechanism. We have different places we put it.
Okay, well, you know what they're doing to silence dissent.
Of course.
These platforms are shutting people down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not the there's such control over the flow of information in this digital age. It is stunning that a lot of Americans don't get the truth. The mistake that we make as conservatives, and then I can get into the details on the election, is that we nationalize issues rather than recognize most issues are better handled at the local level. And when we nationalize issues, we cede power to Washington, D.C., and also national media, that we don't need to.
Yes.
And that's a primary mistake that we make in this fight.
So let's get into the specifics. What were the most glaring aspects of election interference, shenanigans, playing with the way things are supposed to be done? And then, Phil, I want to ask you about some numbers that you guys published that talked about illegal ballots cast. Let's just take Georgia, for example. Your organization, the Amistad Project, came out with a document of certain amount of underage voters, certain amount of people moved out of state, and that was shown in Mike Lindell's video at the beginning of it. Those were your numbers. But then the Georgia Secretary of State says none of this is true. Why are you and the Georgia Secretary of State so far apart? How did you get to those numbers?
Well, we got to those numbers by, first of all, you asked what is some of the most flagrant violations.
Yes.
And we've got a couple. One, they ran a shadow government with private funding. And we'll get to that in a minute. And secondly, they used COVID and other avenues to set aside state laws that applied. And by setting aside those state laws, they undermined the ability to determine whether fraudulent ballots were cast.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that was by design, regardless, it was intentional, and it happened in all the urban core cities of the swing states, and it happened every place that Mark Zuckerberg money touched. So that shows a coordination and an intention. It's circumstantial evidence that they intended to do this. Now, let me get to the Secretary of State and I and how we got to the numbers. And there's an easy way to find out, and that's for Georgia to cooperate in the full, not an audit that they've done, which only validates the fraud, but a true audit, a forensic audit, like Arizona is thinking about doing and debating right now. And that's just part of it. But what we did is we took those violations of law or how they change law, and we looked at the ballots that it affected. And then we reached out to the actual voters. We called a random set of people that fell within these groups. We had, you know, expert mathematicians tell us the number of people we needed to call. We had people design the questioning and reach out and say, now the election rolls show this for you. What did you do? And so we had people tell us, well, it says I got an absentee ballot. I never requested one. It says I didn't vote. Yes, I voted. And we actually spoke with the voters. Now, could they be lying to us? Perhaps. But to the point that it undermines the thousands that we called? Likely not. And what that does is raise questions. And those questions deserve answers. And there's a way to answer them. And many of the elected officials who have that responsibility don't even want the scrutiny.
So you're the former Attorney General of Kansas. You have a lot of credibility. So let's pretend when you were running the Attorney General's office in Kansas, if someone came to you and said, hey, I just ran an operation. I did a couple thousand calls. Here's the information. That would be enough for you to open an investigation, would it not? It would be enough for you to look into widespread criminal behavior. What am I missing here? Why is Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, they don't want to reveal their own inadequacies? How is this possible?
Well, it's fascinating, and you're right to be confused by it, Charlie, because what we ought to do is team together to scrutinize the management of the election to improve. And let me give you some facts that are undisputed, and if people dispute them, it's clear that they're lying.
Okay.
One, we had an unprecedented election in 2020 where the rules were changed, often randomly, using COVID as an excuse or a reason. Whether you believe it was a valid reason or not. Nobody can deny that. All the rules changed. Two, we had an unprecedented infusion of private funds through an organization that dictated how the election would be run by government officials. The private money exceeded the federal government's appropriation
for the election. That was Zuckerberg.
Yes. And by the way, we've identified 10 other organizations where money's flowed through to manage the election, too. We're talking about likely over total $1 billion over a few years to manage this election and tell the state how to manage the election. Three, we had willful violations of law. Okay. And you know, I've been asked by the media, what's evidence that the election was may have been fraudulent or so forth. I said, well, people don't violate the law intentionally without a reason. Why would you violate the law regarding one ballot? You know, why would you risk possible criminal sanction regarding one ballot? You don't. Mm-hmm. Why would you violate the law? And there are several violations of law that occur. Fourth, we had different areas run the election in the same state than other areas. We created a two-tier election system. That's a violation of one of the primary tenets of American jurisprudence, equal protection under the law. We're all to be treated equally. Every vote is to be counted the same. Every voter should have the same opportunity to vote. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that in America. And that is undisputed. In the urban core, where there was Zuckerberg money, you had everything from mobile ballot pickup units to drop boxes to fairs to handing out gifts to people who showed up to vote. To actually, they created professional witnesses that were paid by private money to help them do their absentee ballots. They targeted specific areas for turnout where there were Democratic voters. This is government doing this. not the private sector. It's the private sector running it and telling government what to do. You go to Republican areas, governors, blue state governors shut down in-person polling because of COVID. I'll give you just one example. In Pennsylvania, there was, I call them Zucker boxes, not drop boxes, because he paid for them. There was one drop box for every 4 square miles in Delaware County. That is a strong Democrat area. In the Republican areas that Trump won, 59 counties in Pennsylvania that he won in 2016, one drop box for every 1,159 square miles. That's undisputed. Government created a two-tier system. And as you and I have discussed in the past, we've seen this strategy before. It was the strategy of the Democrat Party of the Deep South in the years of Jim Crow that targeted the demographic of the white voter to turn them out and targeted the demographic voter group, the black vote, to suppress the vote. And they did it in all kinds of creative ways. And guess what? That happened this time. We're going to turn out Democrats in the urban core, and we're going to suppress the vote in rural America. That's the swing states. That's Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Arizona. So this was coordinated, and you can see that coordination in ideas and action well before the 2020 election. And now we're seeing it in our litigation. Our litigation is still continuing. We're getting discovery. We're finding the emails. We're seeing this evidence of coordination and direction.
Look, big tech has come after conservatives like we've never seen before. My entire CPAC speech, which many of you were very kind in praising, so thank you for that, was all about big tech. Now look, every device, whether you're on your phone, laptop, or television, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff online, watch videos, or even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP address to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can never see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized and my network data is encrypted. So protect your internet activity with the VPN I trust to use every single day. Visit expressvpn.com/charlie to get 3 extra months of a 1-year package. I love ExpressVPN. In fact, I'm using it right now. I just looked at my phone and I saw that beautiful 3 letters next to my Wi-Fi connection, VPN, with a square around it. Actually, it's more like a rectangle. It's a beautiful rectangle. If you don't have that beautiful rectangle, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, protect yourself against the big tech companies and foreign actors and bad people altogether. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie.
Talk about your litigation. What is your complaint? Who are you suing? What courts? What is your progress? Give us the specific update. Our audience wants to know who is still trying to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, well, we are suing the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And we are narrowing our focus to specific states. And we're also looking at potential litigation relating to the management of the election of certain election commissions. And I'm not ready to speak to that because the discovery is bringing that together and forming it.
Sure.
But we plan to get to the bottom of the impact of private money managing government services.
So Center for Technology Civic Life, you and I have talked about it, but we have a lot of new listeners since we've last done that. That was a formerly a couple $100,000 a year organization that was kind of a shell of an organization that overnight got a $400 to $500 million gift from one donor, Mark Zuckerberg, that allowed them to do what?
Well, you go back to a book by David Plouffe, and actually it goes back further than this, and he laid out the strategy. David Plouffe was Obama's campaign manager. And in March of 2020, he published his book called The Citizen's Guide for Defeating Donald Trump. At that time, he was working for Zuckerberg and Zuckerberg's wife, Priscilla Chan. And in the book, he says, and this isn't rocket science, the 2020 election is likely to come down to a block-by-block street fight to turn out the vote in Philadelphia, in Milwaukee, and in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Soon afterwards, Zuckerberg gives the Center for Tech and Civic Life initially $250 million. He upped it to $350 million. He also gave another $50 million to a group called the Center for Election Research and Innovation. And then there are some other groups involved in this. And this is Google money. This is big tech money joining Zuckerberg money. So this group starts reaching out. In May of 2020, they reach out to the mayor of Racine, Wisconsin, and they say, look, we're going to give you $100,000. You go find these four cities. Talk to the mayor of Green Bay. Talk to the mayor of Milwaukee. Talk to the mayor of Madison. There's somebody else in there. I forget. I'm sorry. And we're going to ask you to give them some of this money so you guys can develop the plan for safe elections in Wisconsin. Well, there's a problem with that. That is, the United States Constitution gives that authority to the state legislature. And government's role is not to put their thumb on the scale. It's to treat everybody equally. So the legislature is required by federal law, as well as legal precedent, to kind of distribute those funds fairly across the state to manage the election. It would not be right if the state legislature, for example, put a voting location on every block of a white neighborhood and had no voting in the inner city. There'd be lawsuits, and it would rightfully be prohibited. These monies have to be spread out. But instead of going to the legislature, they went to city mayors, and they asked them to design the plan. And that plan was in areas that Hillary Clinton overwhelmingly won in 2016. So in Wisconsin, for example, you had every area that where Republicans are dominant roughly receive $4 a voter to manage the election. In the urban core, $47 a voter, thanks to Zuckerberg money. That's not right. We can't have elections brought to you by Pepsi Cola.
And it should be illegal.
And we believe it is.
It violates some federal law probably about equal voting access, right?
We believe it violates the Help America Vote Act, okay, which the federal government provides monies, and the states must submit a fair election plan to get those funds. Altering that plan requires public hearings, and we believe this violates that, as well as some other things.
I have a lot of questions, but let's start here. The complaint that Mark Levin and many others, and myself included, were making, and you just said it, but you said it differently, is that the state legislature has to be the one that changes and conducts the way elections are actually done in our country.
That's right.
A complaint on this was brought to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we don't want to see it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to hear the argument. Then what's to prevent that from happening again?
Well, nothing.
Okay.
Unless state legislators wake up. You know, it is remarkable that Charlie, when I first got elected to the legislature, I think I was 32 years old, if I'm remembering correctly. That's been a little while. And my first 6 to 9 months was my leadership telling me that I didn't have any authority in what I can't do. Legislatures are part-time in the state. They have part-time staff. They deal in a fast-moving process, and most of them don't know their responsibility nor their authority. And they didn't exercise their proper authority. Legislatures determine the time, place, and manner of election, and they're the ones who determine the manner in which presidential electors are selected. Now, what we have in this country is they've delegated all that authority to the executive branch, under the governor. And the governor has delegated that authority to minor election officials who are taught that they cannot question the election. It's called ministerial functions rather than discretionary functions. They have lawyers telling them, you must certify an election. You don't have a choice. So in other words, nobody is overseeing our elections.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is looking into these questions adequately. And there's not a process to do it. And there are many examples in law that show this. I'll give you one example. Let's talk machines. I'm talking to you through a computer right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can see me. You can hear my voice. But if this machine was counting, like it counts votes. We could not see how it operated unless we saw the computer logs and had the expertise to know what those logs mean, right? So we've ruined transparency in elections because most people can't see how this machine operates. And we've brought in experts to tell us whether they're operating. And I guess we just have to trust them. But here's the status of American law regarding those machines. The computer logs, which will show you whether there was improper access or whether there was malware or whether things were wrong. In the state contract between the vendor and the state has agreed, the secretaries of state, that that stuff is proprietary and the American public can't see it. Now, that's insane. That's like we're going to hire a vote counter, give them all the votes, put them in a room, and let them come out and say, here's who won, and we can't watch? No, that you see, the system we've created raises serious questions about how our elections are managed. And why do we have the machines? We have them for convenience. They're not needed. We went with paper for, well, a long, long time. And we do it because we want speed and we want the media to be able to report the winner on election night. There's no need for that. Our need is to get elections correctly, not speed, so that we can have a lot of advertising, have a lot of the talking heads on national television at night. The networks can make a lot of money. No.
Well, we're not even doing that anyway.
We need to take our time and get it right. What's that?
We're not even announcing a winner on election night anyway. So well, if that's the argument, then forget it.
The winner is actually on January 20th under the Constitution, but the media tries.
So let's say in a theoretical thought exercise, I appoint you as Attorney General of the United States. You were Kansas Attorney General. You're the Attorney General of the United States. Where do you start looking into all this? Where do you have reasonable cause to open investigations? Where should we have been investigating, and why wasn't it done?
Well, I can tell you some stories of evidence that we obtained that we never got answers to and did not get cooperation in investigation. You know, we came across a truck driver who drove from Bethpage, New York to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I want to say it was October 21st. And he had anywhere from 140,000 to 250,000 completed ballots, absentee ballots, from Bethpage to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where all kinds of oddities occurred. And then he unhooked his trailer and his trailer disappeared. A trailer that he used every day was gone and the ballots were gone. There's an easy way. We got cooperation from the doc of Bethpage. We got people talking about it. There's an easy way to investigate that. And that is there's GPS. There are postal records. There are all kinds of ways you can verify that. To our knowledge, nobody has really looked into it.
How is that
even
possible?
Though we've shared that.
No, but how is that possible? When Lady Gaga's dogs get shot, the FBI gets deployed. When Jussie Smollett has a rope on his neck that he makes up, the FBI gets deployed. When Bubba Wallace has a rope on his garage, how is this not of a concern? I mean, it's a very simple investigation versus some of these complex financial investigations they go through.
Let me throw a couple of examples by you that you might be familiar with that I have experienced in my life. Are underage children brought to abortion clinics by those who abuse them?
Are underage? Yeah, probably.
Yes. That's how you get rid of the evidence. It is known. I had evidence of this as Attorney General. We initiated an investigation, but we could not get any cooperation or assistance from other law enforcement because it was Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has significant cultural reach. Prosecutors and investigators have enormous authority. They get to decide what they investigate and don't investigate. Your question is best poised to them.
Look, no one likes going to the post office. Going to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and tons of money. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office and UPS all in one place, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. At Stamps.com, it's a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's really that simple. With Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and 62% off UPS shipping rates. So go to Stamps.com. It's a no-brainer. So stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There is no risk with my promo code Kirk. You get a special offer that includes 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kirk. That's Stamps.com, promo code Kirk. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. I guess my question is, why doesn't the North Dakota Attorney General open a criminal investigation into the Zucker boxes if even $1 of that Zuckerberg money went into it? You know what I mean? Like, you have subpoena power. You can start to get some. I mean, if the federal government's not going to do it, I'm failing to see.
It takes political will. It takes political will.
So the argument is basically, out of 50 attorney generals, they're all cowards, every single one.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say that many don't know. Oh, but many are distracted. But then they have other priorities.
How is that possible? I'm not tracking with this, to be honest with you, because it's like, this is the greatest scam ever pulled on the American people. We have millions of people that are never going to vote again, and we can't get a subpoena to the Center for maybe it's already happened for the Center for Technology and Civic Life.
Let me put it this way. I'm the only prosecutor in our nation's history to get a subpoena of Planned Parenthood records and receive them. No prosecutor has tried since, because I'm a former attorney general, right? I'm on the Planned Parenthood trophy case. I'm there. They show it around. They say, you want to take on tough cases? Guess what we'll do? And that's the game that they play.
Yeah.
And do you know what attorney general stands for?
No.
Aspiring governor.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, you know, we let people who wrestle ghosts masquerade as leaders in this country. If I do this and I get these polling numbers and this person dies in a plane crash, I will become emperor. And you cannot do that in tough investigations. What you have to do is set it aside and do what's right. And I'm not saying there's no people who do that. You know, how many fights can you take on? There are people taking on important fights right now, and they cannot continuously take on new ones. But what we allow to pass for leadership in this country? No. A lot of people in office believe they are virtuous because they hold the office, not because of what they do with that office.
Right. I agree with that. I'm and maybe you can help clarify this. If the states are not going to investigate this, which it doesn't look like there's any indication of that, the DOJ, they're not even going to get even close to this. That ship has sailed. Your civil litigation is proceeding, but they're going to try to stall out the clock, and you'll probably find some stuff. What is the path forward to fix this?
Okay, it's the state legislatures and it's the people.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything. State legislatures are a waste of time.
I don't agree. When you put in the time and you teach them, there's some good folks down there. And the reason is they can maintain their positions. They're not vulnerable. Charlie, when I was a state legislator, they came after me all the time. All I needed to do is walk and knock on the doors. They couldn't defeat me. You know, no matter how much money they threw at me, they couldn't defeat me. So you can get great progress. Plus, there's more common sense at the local level. And we need to engage it. Now, I've often said that America's greatest strength is it gets what it wants And America's greatest weakness is it gets what it wants. If people would rather sit back, be comfortable, watch some football and basketball, not raise their head above the foxhole, we're going to lose our freedoms.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose the ability to manage our elections. But I guarantee you, the great thing about having what I call a squish in office is they become one of you if you raise your voice loud enough.
Like Brian Kemp. Yeah.
So, you know, we've and you're doing it. You're speaking to an audience. They might be cynical. They might be distrusting of government. They might even be angry. But the answer is not to check out.
No, I think people are wondering what to do. And, yeah. You know, I'm here in Arizona, and just trying to get these state legislators to care about this is so difficult. Right. And they're contemplating some of this stuff. But just it's very difficult at times to do that. I'm not saying it's impossible. And so I want to kind of close with this thought, which is the different avenues. Right. So you have your litigation front at the Amistad Project, which is terrific. The Center for Technology and Civic Life, they're going to try to do this again in the midterms. They are going to try to normalize this. They're going to try to pass H.R. 1 and make this happen permanently. So the pressure on the state legislators is super important. What else can people do? This is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast, Phil, because we have to keep talking about this and not forget about it. I have to keep resurfacing this issue. And I know the demand is there amongst our audience, right? Our audience, the number one emails I get is, Charlie, I'm never going to vote again. I'm done. I say, hold on a second. That's not the right choice. But the sentiment is the whole system is completely screwed against me, right? And I try to tell Republicans, like, you better do something to fix this. So what are the steps? What are the different action, you know, tasks that you would recommend?
We have created grassroots movements in primarily the swing states, but it's expanding. And we create voter alliance groups. And we're very interested in hearing from you. You can go to got-freedom.com, got-freedom.com, and learn more about it. And also reach out to us so we can plug you in. We have people coming from all over the nation who want to be educated about election laws. And we are doing that. You know, we're networking those people and getting them engaged in this process. Got Freedom is also engaged, as you are, in lending voice to those people who don't have voice. You know, in this cancel culture, we have so many people who speak for us rather than listen to us.
Yes.
We make a comment about an issue and some group takes it, twists it, and then manipulates it to either cancel you or forward their agenda. And we're trying to, as you are, allow for voice at got-freedom.com or .org. So you can get involved that way. And I would also like to encourage, particularly your generation, Charlie. I grew up in a time when we understood the importance of free speech. We didn't threaten people because of their speech. We didn't try to shut up a fool. We actually believed that if somebody we disagreed with continued to speak an idea, we gave them a platform because we believe by reason we can refute that idea and speak a better idea. We saw free speech as so important that we were willing to protect the speech of those with whom we disagree. We need you all to raise that voice right now. I believe that's the most grave threat we face is government assault on free speech.
Well, I totally agree. And the fact that we have to have this conversation, we're going to be very careful where we're going to distribute it, because if we distribute it on the wrong platform, this conversation won't exist and the platform won't exist. But Phil, I want to thank you for the great work you're doing. I want to have you back on to get updates on your lawsuits as they proceed. And I also want to have you back on to track some of these state legislatures that are doing their job and some that are not doing their job. I know Georgia just passed a bill. It's not robust enough for my liking, but it's something. It's at least they're trying to do something in the right direction. But based on everything that you've told me, until we start to figure out the private money in the public elections, the changing of the rules,
And then finally, whether we're going to become a vote-by-mail country, that's a really important thing to figure out. Are we really going to become a vote-by-mail country? And the answer should be no. The Democrats right. want to take it there because it just allows ballot laundering. You allow granny farming. All these different practices are allowed to be open there. But I want to thank you for your fixation on this. And it's very important because a lot of people have given up, truly.
Well, thank you. And your summary was very, very good. I think you hit it.
It's critical. I am of the opinion that if you do not give up and you stay relentless, maybe you can get another attorney general in some state to do something. And there's plenty of good ones out there. I was just meeting with some of them. And you're right. They have thin staffs and they're going after sex trafficking and they're going after drugs and they're going after embezzlement. But if they could even put a couple of their attorneys on staff to do this, I am of the opinion you're going to uncover something, an email, a text message that I think will be a bombshell. I am of the belief that there's something there that will prove what they've already admitted on Time Magazine, which was the shadow conspiracy to win the election, right? That was.
I can tell you we have evidence that is hard hitting.
And I'm sure you're going to build it and you're going to grow, right?
Well, you've got to tell the story. You don't bring out one link of the chain because it wilts. So
you're already in. You're already in discovery.
Yes.
Well, that happened really quick. Wow. Jeez. Just considering that you probably filed in November, right? November, December.
No, we filed some suits much earlier.
Oh,
and we've been before the election. On discovery. Yeah.
So you saw this coming with Center for Technology and Civic Life before the election.
Oh, yeah. We were involved in that. I don't know how many months it's been.
Well, see, Phil, this is the frustration, is the Trump campaign and many others, they should have been listening to you and warning against this in July and August, maybe even getting Bill Barr to issue a letter. You know, stuff like that very well could have prevented this deluge of hundreds of millions of dollars that corrupted and interfered with our elections.
You know, Charlie, sometime – This is how I've spoken to some conservative and those who are gracious and support causes. I said one of the issues that we have is we get excited after the train wreck. And you have to understand this train wreck has been planned for 15 years.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And we can show that.
That's critical, and that is the reason why you shouldn't give up. Because we need to restore faith in our elections. And I believe that every little link that you piece together, the story you're going to tell, that's going to give these state legislators the confidence. Because basically, in 2022, we have two critical Senate races that I can think of, plus Wisconsin. But let's just take Georgia and Wisconsin, right? Let's take those two, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Those three are all in contention with what you've talked about. If they ban Center for Technology Civic Life or like-type organizations, it very well might change the landscape.
It could. It would.
A fair election, who cares who wins, right? I have my opinions. You do too. Phil, thank you so much for joining. Again, it's the Armistad Project. What's the website?
GOT.-freedom.com.
This is a top concern of our listeners, so I know they're really appreciate it. Thank you, Phil. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, or if you want to just contact us directly. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless, everybody. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.